Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
There are a lot of things that I still don't understand, but I can tell you one thing definitively that I do, and it was on display last night. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Penn's Oil Performance Line. Janae, put your foot in it is like one of those things that I think no matter how cool I perceive myself to be or how in touch with things I perceive myself to be, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to pull off saying something like that in referencing to upgrading my food.
Probably not. Definitely not. I'm sorry to break it to you. Breaking news, you probably can't pull that off. But you can pull a lot off, just not that one.
Breaking news. We have found the limits to things that I can pull off and accurately and effectively saying put your foot in it when it comes to cooking and upgrading the flavor there. Probably not going to be the place, and that's cool. I'm willing to live with that, Janae. As long as you are here, I feel like we've got that understanding. So I can tell you one thing I am definitively sure of at this point. And believe me, in this world, there are not a lot. We'll get into the Dolphins quarterback situation that has introduced a bunch of doubt into our hearts. What the hell happened or didn't happen this weekend with Clemson and Florida State in the game that they attempted to play that has now caused a lot of uproar in the ranks of college football. And that's before we even get into the rankings tomorrow. But today, I know one thing for sure. What I saw last night in Sunday Night Football as the Kansas City Chiefs took on the Las Vegas Raiders reminded me that some folks better is just better. And there is a reason that none of us are bold enough or, quite frankly, dumb enough to pick against the Kansas City Chiefs with any meaningful amount of money, because they've got one guy that they can break glass in case of emergency with and take anybody out. With as much time as you want to give them left, as little as you think that sliver is, they are always going to find a way through it.
I mean, absolutely. And you know, it's funny. You talk about some people's better is just better. It's like their good is good with a T. They deliver with delivered with a T. And you know, it's funny because we think about, oh, 2-minute drill. You know, how much time can you give them? They gave him, the Raiders, 1:43 left in the game. This is nuts. 7 plays, 75 yards in 75 seconds. And the crazy thing is, it didn't look hard. It actually looked easy, almost too easy. So yeah, I think this is one of those times where you're starting to realize like, oh, they weren't lying when they feel like they can beat anybody and that they play with ease because they feel like they're that talented. And they also have that guy, and that guy being Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I think this is the interesting part is statistically, I saw something jump out about late game Patrick Mahomes that is probably the most telling stat in all this, the company he's already in. But you mentioned, Chinee, no matter what you think about your best, I'm curious the answer to this question for you. Because I watched the Raiders last night, and it was kind of like this weekend when Indiana lost to Ohio State. I knew who the better team was going in, but what I saw from Vegas and what I saw from this John Gruden-coached outfit, Derek Carr might have played the best game I've seen since the year he was up for the MVP. This team looked really, really good, and it still wasn't good enough. So I ask you, what's a worse feeling? Going out and just getting your tail whooped, going out there and just getting beat like you stole something, or going out, giving your absolute best shot, and watching the other team or the other person absorb it and still beat you?
See, I can sleep well if I know that I gave my best shot. And I will say this, like, as a professional athlete, like, the one thing that will keep me up at night, like nightmares, that type of stuff, is knowing that I didn't go as hard on a possession and I like dropped the ball, I missed a shot. Like those things stay in my head. If I'm the Raiders, I'm feeling all right, with the exception of like what we did after we beat them the first time may have given them ammo to like actually feel like, oh yeah, we're going to rub this into you like in the worst way possible. Like Patrick Mahomes reminds me so much of Steph Curry in the sense that he finds so much joy within playing the game that he doesn't need to talk-ish. Like he's a genuinely good dude. A lot seems to be working well for him in the year of 2020, our Lord, as you say it, whether it's getting a ring and, you know, having this crazy contract, like a lot of things are working well for him and his team. And in this year, I think that's like a testament to their talent because everything is working against everyone else. And they're just on display. Their talents are just, you can't deny it, especially when it comes from the quarterback.
When I say the boy's got his own money, I mean the boy has got his own money. I am curious with that. Janae Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Janae Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Janae, at Mike Golic Jr. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you, treat your inner college football fan to an ice cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. And I'm probably in the same boat with you, Janae. Like, getting boat raced in the national title game the way we did when I was at Notre Dame wasn't fun. It would have felt a lot better for that to be close. But like you said, you could sleep well knowing you went out there and did your best. But man, it's got to be kind of haunting just knowing that what you're up against on the other side might be too good to overcome. Here's the stat that does it for me. when we're talking about in the fourth quarter and overtime, Patrick Mahomes, through 10 games so far this season, has the second highest QBR in the fourth quarter overtime in the last 15 seasons. The only person that he trails is 2007 Tom Brady. Like the Randy Moss, almost undefeated year, Tom Brady, New England Patriots offense from hell. That is the quarterback that you've got to go up against in the division if you're this Raiders team that looks every bit like a playoff team but just might be running into. You mentioned Golden State's an apt comparison because sometimes you're just up against forces that are bigger than you.
And I think the big question here is like, We're dealing with a situation where I think it's the best start ever in Steelers franchise history at 10-0, undefeated. And we're still taking the Chiefs, like even with the blemish on their record, which to me is kind of funny. So I guess the question here is, how do you beat them? How do you stop them? How do you slow them? And the only answer, like, you know, we like to consider ourselves decently smart. Notre Dame, Stanford, you combine our brains, we can come up with a good answer. And to me, the only answer that kind of makes sense is you got to play keep away and you have to win the time of possession battle. And so I was looking at the numbers. The Raiders had, the first time they beat the Chiefs, they had the ball for 35 minutes and 18 seconds, and the Chiefs had the ball for less than 25 minutes. Now, this time around, the Chiefs won the time of possession, 32 to 28. So any team that wants to take down the Chiefs has to have the ball in their possession. That, to me, is the only way to keep, you know, Mahomes off the field.
And Janae, I think that's why when we talk about a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, we feel hopeful because for a lot of this season, the Steelers were a top five time of possession team, but they didn't do it necessarily in the way, let's say, we saw from the Indianapolis Colts down the stretch yesterday against Green Bay. They do it with a short passing game, a quarterback who's in command of their offense who may not have the best physical prowess he's ever had still, but it's still a weapon. But like you said, the Kansas City Chiefs, we saw long stretches where Derek Carr was doing the Patrick Mahomes impression where he's on the sideline and he's got his hands tucked in his jersey like, when am I going to get this damn ball back at some point? Offensively, it's anything you can do, I can do better. Defensively, what we saw yesterday from the Chiefs was a group that looked a lot more like the 2018 Chiefs defense than the defense last year that was timely enough to help them win a Super Bowl. And that might be a concern down the stretch of this year. But, Janae, we were down the stretch of this game. There's about a 136 left or something like that when the Raiders went down and score. And I just looked up and I said, they've arrived at that point. And we mentioned Tom Brady, where for a while, if you gave Tom Brady the ball back with any length of field and any amount of time, we all kind of looked at each other and said, here we go again. And, Janae, you know this as an athlete. There's a difficulty in trying to get out of that here we go again feeling when they've given us the receipts on the other side time and time again.
I mean, I keep thinking, here we go, one more time, all Mahomes is feeling fine. You know what I mean? Like something hilarious.
Yes, here we go.
Go.
Mahomes has got the flow.
There we go. Yeah, that's that part. Glee ESPN. But again, I will say this one more time. 7 plays, 75 yards in 75 seconds. Like, make that make sense.
It's crass and offensive, quite frankly. Like, the things that he does, and it, Janae, like, they're doing the thing where they motioned Patrick Mahomes again at the quarterback spot this weekend, and then had Travis Kelce throw the underhanded slip pass underneath. Like, Andy Reid is just walking a dog on people right now. You mentioned they came into this one motivated. Like, it seems like whatever they want, it's however they want it.
Again, in 2020, this is probably one of the bright spots we can point to, like Patrick Mahomes, his game, and his team being able to like win amidst any kinds of odds, ahead, behind, you name it, they got it.
They don't need any help, and it's to the point now where we're officially back at this point in the season, and we mentioned they've got this game that was in prime time. They've got next week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that we're getting ready to watch in Monday Night Football. They are erasing all doubt in making it Kansas City or the field yet again in an NFL season. And man, it feels like we're all leaning towards Kansas City right now. They've got their situation at quarterback all set up and all ready to go. But coming up next, in a year where we've seen young quarterbacks thrive on the big stage like none before and none in a while, coming up next, why one team is already making decisions with their prize commodity that had the rest of us scratching our heads. We'll get to that next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Igwumike. We've talked a lot about quarterbacks. We've talked a lot about the rookie quarterback's performance this season. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll check in Cincinnati, one of two Queen Cities in the United States, Charlotte and Cincinnati. that is dealing with a tough day right now. Joe Burrow, we found out, torn ACL, MCL, and more structural damage inside that knee that we saw yesterday against the Washington football team. Really devastating, Chinee. Tough to see for a young player who had gone out and lived up to every bit of that number one overall billing coming out of LSU, and now sees himself not only out for what probably is the rest of the season, but we'd have to imagine going someone into next year too.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people became fans of him. I know it's hard to say that because after LSU, like, you could all be fans, but now to see him do that on the highest of levels, like, everyone's impressive, but it's tough to see, especially given the nature of the injury. It's not just one, it's a number of things that makes it a little bit more complicated. But the thing is over this, how many or so, week 10 or so, we've seen him certify his talents, and to me, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, so we will check in Cincinnati in about 10 minutes to see what the outlook appears to be now as they get more information coming off that injury yesterday. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. But, Janae, the other bit of rookie quarterback news that made headlines this weekend was what we saw out of Miami. Tua Tagovailoa, who had been inserted as the starter for the last three games over the veteran Ryan Fitzpatrick, was pulled late in the game as they were Dolphins were down 20-10. At that point in the game, Tua Tagovailoa had gone 11 for 20 with 83 passing yards and a touchdown. He was sacked six times, which is four more than in the previous four games combined in this, Chinee. And I thought it was interesting looking at this because Brian Flores was adamant after that this was about performance and not about anything injury-related with Tua that people might be worried about or anything like that, which only becomes more confusing to me and sends what I think is a mixed message to a locker room that we know had some trouble digesting this decision to begin
with.
Okay,
break that down. Tell me why it's confusing.
Well, because you, in theory, make the move to go with Tua Tagovailoa because you're ready to start your future now. And if you're Brian Flores, if you're this Dolphins organization, part of me could understand that even if I didn't agree with it at the time that it happened. But if we're going to go along this now and say, well, this is in the interest of winning football games, this is in the interest of going out and believing we have to do what it takes because they're in it now. In this AFC East, in this version of the AFC playoffs, they're in the conversation. Then I'm wondering why you went away from Ryan Fitzpatrick to begin with, because nothing we've seen from Tua so far has been markedly better. And Chinee, you know this, inside a locker room, even though this is a young one, it feels like that's a hard sell to say, we're worried about winning now if we made a decision that we know a lot of people looked at and said, I don't know if this is an improvement in the moment before.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that the reason why you're in a position to win is based on the quarterback that was helping you win then, and then you switch saying that this is about winning now with Tua, and then you take him out because that wasn't the thing that worked in the moment. Where I can see, like, okay, obviously this was not like the keynote game where, as you mentioned, 83 yards and one TD, you would expect a little bit more. But I'm looking at this like, what are we supposed to believe? Because as I was watching the game, especially late, there were a couple hits that Tua took where he was just a little slow to getting up. And then you see him on the sideline and he's talking to his coach. And I think the trainer was nearby. And so I was like, I understand smoke screens if necessary, if he was a little dinged up, or at least you were worried about his health because this is your long-term project, right? But sometimes it's like, I have trust issues with what happens, what the coach says, because even when it came to making this decision to switch quarterbacks, didn't he leave it like the media found out before Ryan found out and like Tua found out the day after? And so like when it comes to this quarterback, it just seems like everything's moving in a good positive direction for this franchise, Miami and everything. But when it comes to the quarterback, that's when things starts getting dicey with communication and also just messaging. Like if you're going to tell us that he's your best chance with the ceiling up to win, and then you take him out saying that that's the best chance to win by putting someone else in, that same person that you actually denied that case to, make it make sense, because it don't.
Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinee Gwimke. I'm with you on that one, Chinee. It seemed like a move where once you make that switch, you got to live with how it works out. That seemed to be the message that was sent when you elevated him from the starter. Unless what you had seen behind closed doors was so otherworldly good, and we just haven't gotten that fully on a Sunday that you couldn't keep him off the field. But again, I still don't understand it. Now, one person in this situation who has acquitted themselves very well is Tua, who talked after the game and was asked about this situation, about how he felt being pulled, and gave this answer, which I thought was really compelling.
My thoughts were whatever was going to be best for the team. When I was in, we couldn't really get things going. And, you know, coach felt like it was the best decision to put Fitz in to try to give us a spark. So when I heard that, you know, it's really what's best for the team. And I mean, if we were to win with Fitz in there, You know, the locker room would be a lot different. Everyone would be a lot happier. But, you know, it just sucks to lose.
And today, I appreciate the maturity that it takes to come out and give that answer, because I'm sure that wasn't a situation that he envisioned for himself. He's played big-time football. He wants to be the man out there. But even he looked at that situation and gave the stock answer that you're supposed to.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, as athletes, when we go up there, we either say, I pass on this question, like, we deflect, or we don't lie. Like, lying never helps. And I think in this situation, it sounds like what Tua seems like he's saying the truth, right? And it would be better if that was also regurgitated by his head coach and Coach Flores. But, like, it did look like a situation where he could have provided the spark. And I don't like to, like, read into the tea leaves too much, but, you know, I'm a female, so I'm going to get a little messy here. Like, I was confused because with his answer, he also said, like, it seems like the locker room kind of would have enjoyed if Fitzpatrick was in there for them to win and he provides more energy. I was like, hold up, like, are you saying the energy is not there for you? I sort of heard that and I was like, oh, was this more of a like a nod because you knew this was coming if things were going to be struggling for you? So I heard that and I sort of got paused, but then I kept moving because he said the right things. That's what I think you'd want someone to hear. You want that transparency. You want that honesty. But guess what? You got to have that between both QBs and you got to have that from your head coach. And it now looks like we're getting two different stories.
And I think that's the interesting part in this, Janae, is all of this is so isolated around the quarterback situation. Because what have we said for the last couple of years? Like, hell, last year I was saying Brian Flores should have gotten some Coach of the Year looks for what he managed to pull off with a team that looked like it was tanking and Ryan Fitzpatrick'd itself into some wins. But when you came into this season, you were gift-wrapped, in my mind, a situation that was hard to turn down. A quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick who's been career boom or bust, who was playing with top five QBR stats going into last year to help bridge the gap to your future that you could elongate with a quarterback that you wanted to make sure was fully back and fully recovered from a catastrophic injury last year. And you punted on that in favor of going towards the future. But then you kind of stopped and go with the future now, and it all lends itself to a confusing situation for a coach that had done so much right before and now in the most important situation in every franchise, how you deal with your star, and in the NFL, how you deal with your quarterback. Now is where we start to get the issues coming forward, and now remains the biggest test for the Dolphins remaining this season.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, this is a new territory for them. Like, having all the spotlights, being able to potentially win the division. Again, they play the Jets next, so I'm curious to see who starts. I think it's going to be Tua. But even so, like, maybe that person will – that's going to be a feel-good, you know, game for whoever starts.
It is. That's true. Probably a great soft landing spot to erase all this conversation, much like we saw this weekend with Taysom Hill, the Saints, going up against a team like the Falcons.
Yep.
You got to know where you're at in the schedule to make a decision here. But coming up next, let's stick with young quarterbacks and head out to Cincinnati to find out what the future looks like now that they've suffered a major setback at that position. We will do that after this word from AT&T.
There are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G, to love AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're a professional racer like Usain Bolt in the 100-yard dash. Then you like AT&T 5G because it's fast. Maybe you're Steve Nash with The Rock on the pick and roll. Then you like AT&T 5G because it's secure. Or maybe you're LeBron James and haven't missed a game in 17 years. Then you like AT&T 5G because it's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable. And guess what? It is now nationwide. You heard me, nationwide. AT&T 5G, it's not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Back after this, it's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I think it was just one of those moments yesterday, Janae, when you see someone in the midst of a year that, let's be honest, sucks. 2020's been awful in so many ways.
Oh,
Joe
yes.
Burrow, overall, whether it's going back to his national championship performance, getting that win versus LSU, like what he meant to college football last year, we were all kind of invested in him and 100%. What he had done for Cincinnati so far this season. We were all kind of in on it, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
So it was difficult to watch what happened. Again, Joe Burrow goes down in the NFL game this weekend against the Washington football team, diagnosed with a torn ACL, MCL, and more structural damage. And so as we try and get a gauge for what's going on in Cincinnati and where the franchise goes from here, we're delighted to be joined now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line by ESPN Bengals reporter Ben Baby with us. And Ben, we appreciate the time this morning. I guess just kind of on that human sense, like we were just talking about, what's the mood like around Cincinnati and around covering this team this morning or this afternoon?
Yeah, it's been, first off, thanks for having me on, y'all. And it's been tough. You know, you could tell yesterday that the players just completely checked out and everyone kind of admitted, yeah, we were really shook. And, dude, that was a game the Bengals were actually, you know, winning, and there was no sense that they were going to come back and be able to do anything in that game against Washington yesterday. And you got to remember that everyone had to, around here in Cincinnati, had to suffer through that 2-14 season last year, and the only thing that a lot of people had latched onto was the hope that Joe Burrow was going to be the starting quarterback in 2020. I mean, I joked before the draft that if they don't draft Burrow, that you're probably going to have some protests downtown, and you're going to see a lot of unhappy people. And I don't really think that was far off. And he was a big jolt in the arm for a franchise that really has done a lot of nothing over the last three decades. You know, they had a playoff run, a few playoff runs in the 2010s, but never won a playoff game, still without a playoff win since January 91, which is actually before I was born. So to put that in perspective here, and you know, now with Burrow being out, you know, it's just going to be, you know, the Bengals now have to hit a complete pause on their rebuild. And that's kind of why I said in the tease leading into the segment, you know, this season's a failure now for the Bengals, because you cannot accelerate your rebuild anymore until Joe Burrow comes back. You know, Joe Burrow obviously did not have a normal preseason because of COVID-19. You needed him to get all these reps that he could in 2020. And he was making, you know, weekly progress, and you started to feel good about what he was able to do. And he was building a case to potentially be the offensive rookie of the year. Now, all of that is on hold, and you have to continue this whole rebuilding process into 2021, which is definitely not what the Bengals were looking for at the end of the season.
Here with Ben Baby, ESPN Bengals reporter, here with us on Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Now, you know, before I get to my question, did I hear that you were born, you know, after 1991?
After January. I'm technically, I was born in 91. But
you're young Bengals, like us.
Nice.
Yes, yeah. I'm still not a literal baby, but still a baby, more or less. But yeah, that was the case.
Junior's older than you. Yes, my kinfolk here. I'm so excited to hear that. Now, you know, speaking of Joe, all of us are rooting for him, especially with just the personality he is. You know, we all saw the Heisman, and I think that was a moment where everyone became fans of him. But what do you think the franchise, like, do you think anything could have been done differently, or do you think the franchise owns every decision, you know, dealing with his first year of his career?
Yeah, you know, I think that in hindsight, you're going to look at, can this offensive line been a lot better? And there's going to be a lot of questions about what that line should have looked like. But, you know, going into the game yesterday, you actually saw a lot of reactions. A lot of people wanted to see the line, you know, given what was on the roster, wanted to see that line out there yesterday with Hakeem Adeniji, their sixth-round pick, going in at right tackle. And, you know, you wanted to see what they were going to be able to get in Quentin Spain at right guard. You know, and ultimately it just did not work out. You know, Hakeem had played well against Pittsburgh in the previous week, and that's kind of why he got the nod over Bobby Hart, who, you know, has not been a fan of people have not been thrilled with him over the years in Cincinnati. And it's been, you know, I think you have to now look at it and go, okay, yes, you know, the offensive line has gotten better in recent weeks, and Zach Taylor was very clear to point that out, but you have to ask the question, can you do more? And I think that's one that the Bengals are really going to have to look at. And now it's clear, you know, if the Bengals do end up with a third overall pick, and right now ESPN's FPI projects them to probably get that spot, you look at, okay, do you go get an offensive lineman, and do you take the top offensive lineman available after Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are off the board in the 2021 draft? And is this what you need to do to make sure that Burrow is protected for the rest of the time that he's in Cincinnati? And, you know, historically, you know, the franchise has got a lot of flack, and rightfully so, for the lack of things they have not done. They've been very hesitant to spend on external free agents. They do not have an indoor practice facility. In a lot of ways, they don't operate in ways that you would expect an NFL team to, for better or for worse. And that's kind of changed this year, you know, especially under Zach Taylor in his second year. You know, they went out, they spent the money, they were, you know, they traded Carlos Dunlap, whom the front office loved. They did sign Quentin Spain, which was, I was kind of surprised that they went ahead and did that. And so there is a newfound aggressiveness in their roster building and their approach. But, you know, I think that needs to continue into this offseason to make, you know, not only the team, but the fan base as well feel good about where this thing is headed.
You can follow him on Twitter at Ben_Baby. Check him out covering the Cincinnati Bengals for us here at ESPN. Ben, we appreciate the time and the info, man.
Thanks, Ben.
To you soon.
Hey, thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Ben Baby with us again. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Progressive Home Quote Explorers, changing the way that you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. And I think that's what he just mentioned there at the end, Sinead. People like Joe Burrow, picks like that, are supposed to be franchise-altering in the way that people have looked at the Bengals under Marvin Lewis for so long with Andy Dalton as content with a certain level of mediocrity. And Joe Burrow, for the first time in a long time, was the kind of player that made you hopeful for more than that. And now seeing 9 to 12 month recovery time for this, and you can speak on this. We talked about this a lot, but you dealing with an Achilles injury, a microfracture surgery, and knowing what this rehab process can look like and potentially spilling over into next season makes this a cloudier picture.
Yeah, it is tough. It is a tough rehab. I always say it's like a year to feeling like you're back. Like you'll be back in 9 to 10 months, but then it takes a couple months more to figure that out. But I'm just curious, on your end, would this now, based on this injury, make this target number one in the sense that we definitely need to bolster that O-line? Like that is where our focus goes in the immediate future for Joe Burrow?
Yeah. Oh, and listen, if they're sitting there at 3 overall and they really end up in that spot, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle, Oregon, collision course. That should be
automatic.
The easiest draft card that they hand in. Shanae, you brought Jonah Williams over the other year. You have him playing left tackle, who was a great pick out of Alabama. Penei Sewell is a chance to be a generational talent, one of the most gifted players at that position in a number of drafts at this point. So yeah, that would be a situation where maybe, just maybe, provided Joe Burrow is able to come back, be in one piece and deliver going forward, where you fall into a draft pick that can also help really throttle your franchise into the right direction.
And I was just trying to count, because like 9 months is what people do, 10 months like safety, and then some people take like a year. I was like, I'm gonna take my time. I took like a year and a half for my injuries, but 9 months, like that turnaround is possible, but it's really, really tight. And so I would just say, in these positions, a lot of people would be like, okay, hopefully he's good for next year. It's like, if he misses a few games, like that's the best case scenario, because he's taking his time and that's the best chance for you to actually have success for the longevity.
Yeah, we talked about this with Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins decisions, but for the Bengals, you're really making decisions for the next decade. And so being cautious in the interim is important. Speaking of cautious, we have breaking news from Adam Schefter as of about 6 minutes ago. The Minnesota Vikings have placed wide receiver Adam Thielen on the reserve COVID-19 list. Now, remember, that doesn't mean that he himself tested positive for COVID-19. It could mean that he was part of some contact tracing measures within the team. But Adam Thielen, who has been the star wide receiver for what has been not necessarily the most dynamic passing game in pro football, but an important part of that team, on the reserve COVID-19 list. So we'll see if we get more information as the day goes along. But then that, again, courtesy of our own Adam Schefter here, retweeting the official statement from the Minnesota Vikings. But coming up next, we're going to talk about statements. One of the biggest coaches in college football made a bold one about a game that didn't happen this weekend. We'll tell you where he erred next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The Ravens, man, I hate these narrative things that we attach all this stuff to, but at some point the Ravens got to win one of these big games so people get off their backs on all of this.
I've been waiting to wear my shirt. Do you remember? I was like, I'm going to wear this shirt when the Ravens win, and I have yet to wear it all season long.
Let Shanae wear her shirt, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, whoever we got to talk to in this. But don't worry, coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll tell you why that road only gets harder. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agumake. And Chinay, I'm looking forward to talking about that. I'm looking forward to talking about Mike McCarthy apparently hitting watermelons with a sledgehammer to help propel their win over the Minnesota Vikings. All of those things are fun in a year that has a lot of not fun headlines, like the one we got out of college football this weekend. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Chinay, this weekend, Florida State and Clemson were supposed to play a football game. My dad was supposed to call that football game. And I'm talking to him around breakfast on Saturday morning when all of a sudden the notification comes through that his game is not going to be played. And I'm sitting there like, oh man, this is the fourth game that he's been on in the last 3 weeks that hasn't happened, which maybe like their crew is cursed. I don't know what's happening in that situation. But then, Shanae, we get the response in all of this. So we find out over the course of the weekend that a backup offensive lineman for Clemson had shown some symptoms early in the week, but did not test positive during that. Went and got a test on Sunday, didn't test positive. Tested the 2 times during the week, didn't test positive. So was around the team, was following their social distance protocols. And then Friday, because stopped showing symptoms, is able to get with the team, travel to Tallahassee to play Florida State, and upon arrival, finds out that he does in fact test positive from their Friday round of testing and is immediately isolated. But then Florida State, I think understandably, looks at the situation and their medical advisors get uncomfortable with this. Dabo Swinney, Clemson's head football coach, did not agree. Here's what he had to say.
This game was not canceled because of COVID. COVID was just an excuse to cancel the game. And to be honest with you, I don't think it has anything to do with their players. I have no doubt that their players wanted to play and would have played. And same with the coaches. To me, the Florida State administration forfeited the game. And if they want to play Clemson, in my opinion, they need to come to Clemson or they need to pay for all expenses. Other than that, there's no reason for us to play them. We were there, we were ready, and we met the standards.
Now, Chinay, you hear that, and are you the least bit surprised? What are your thoughts in this situation in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic hearing that answer from a coach?
Not surprised at all. I think this is a man that feels pressed, especially considering that this was supposed to be Trevor Lawrence's first game back. Everyone, you go through an entire week preparation, you're making sacrifices, you get your mind mentally there, you fly, you're ready to play, and then, bam, it's not happening. So that's immediate frustrations. But how are you going to like argue against medical advisors? I know it may not fit the narrative that you want, but these medical advisors, if they're coming to this determination, they also knew that this was a big game for them as much as it was a big game for you. And so that's me where I'm like, okay, I'd rather have people be safe. And then as we heard, like, I think it was Mike Norvell that said, hey, we are willing to delay or figure out like a couple days later if we can have this game. Like just right now, it's not possible. I get it. I understand the frustrations, but still like, to say that those athletes, again, like this is the administrator's problem, like I don't know why he's speaking on their behalf.
Chinay, this seems like a situation where frustration turned into a moment that shouldn't have happened. This seemed like frustration and power coming together in an interesting spot. One of my favorite movies is A Few Good Men, and there's this colonel named Colonel Jessup at the end who gave a controversial order and didn't want to have to shy away from it or, you know, not talk about it because he felt he did the right thing in the name of winning. And in this instance, Dabo Swinney looks at the situation and believes he did all the right things, believes that they're being criticized for traveling with a player that had a positive test result in these situations, and a situation I still don't quite frankly understand in that regard. And they believe they're being the victim in this situation. The difficulty is I understand the frustrations that went into this, Chinay, but you got to read the room in this situation. You know this. What do coaches tell us all the time as players? Don't go and give them any bulletin board material. Don't go out there and give the media something that they're going to run with. Don't make problems for your teammates. And yet what do coaches do time and time again? Like, this is less a Dabo thing and more, this is exactly what I expect from most coaches. Dabo's just the best coach with the biggest megaphone. And so we're going to notice more and more often when you step out here and say the thing that everyone else is going to talk about that you could have very easily avoided.
I'm just wondering, like, could any of it have been salvaged besides going, like, for lack of a better term, like, nuclear, like, y'all have to come to our turf and pay for all of this and all that type of stuff? Like, could there not have been rapid testing so that you could figure out if this was even a possibility instead of now you're, like, creating more problems where there could have been time where you actually created a solution?
Well, Chinay, and Clemson's pointing out that they tried to create a solution, that they offered to play on Sunday or Monday. They offered to stay down there and do that testing, and Florida State's medical advisors didn't think that was prudent. And this is the difficulty, too, in the disjointed weird nature of college football is both of them believe they were technically operating within the guidelines laid out. Both were comfortable in that, and that's the source of the frustration in their spot, that there's not a clearer cut indication and that there's not clearer cut groups of people to decide these situations. Mike Norvell and Florida State are saying our medical people were the ones Saturday morning that made this call, talking to Florida State's medical people, talking to Clemson's, that there were no coaches on this call deciding it. And for coaches, again, that lack of control that Dabo Swinney feels right now in the situation they're comfortable with. And you know that as well as anybody.
100%. And I'm just thinking here, like, okay, clearly there's communications of the people that matter the most when it comes to protecting the athletes there. And they came to a consensus. Why can't the coaches understand that? Like, you guys co-sign this.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chinay, it's amazing how hard it is sometimes to just say nothing. But when you feel like you're speaking not only on behalf of a group of players you think feel similar to you, but I'd imagine a fair amount of coaches behind the scenes, it makes you feel more compelled and more bold to step out there and speak like this. Coming up next, we'll talk to someone else who spoke out after a game that didn't go their way and try and figure out the Ravens next.